We open, not to Horizon City, but to an expanse of water. Andromeda hovers, shrouded by the shadow of something tremendous that stands before her. Waves pick up in the following panel, and after that, a giant scaly tail swings down at the hero. Although she avoids the blow, she is swept away by the cascade of water that follows. A multi-headed, snake-like monstrosity screeches out as the water settles and everything goes still. But the creature's victory roar is cut short as Andromeda rises from the ocean. Water steams off her body, and in the moments it takes to transition between panels, she is completely dry. The creature readies another attack, and at the same time, Andromeda receives a message from her transmitter. The speech bubble is drawn in the same font used by Binary.
We have located Acid Splash. The fool thought he could avoid us. He was mistaken. We are everywhere.
One of the creature's many heads lunges a bite at Andromeda. She catches it between the teeth and wedges herself in its jaw. Really? Are you offering me splash? What's your game, Binary?
If we were playing a game, you'd never be able to understand.
The transmission goes dead with a fabricated bzzzt, and left staring into the throat of the beast, Andromeda thinks, I hate that asshole. I'm being led around like a fucking marionette. In our final panel, gore showers Andromeda as she rips the creature's head in half.
So, Seth, for the Craig recording remix, is it the, like, doo-doo-doo that gets, like, remixed into the actual beat, and then the now recording's the drop?
Right before the drop, yeah.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean. It's like right before. It's like now recording drop.
Maybe like a do 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 do
do do do do do
do
Now recording. 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 Now recording.
It'd be so good.
Hello, entire internet, and welcome to a Critically Accursed podcast where the plot's made up and the roles don't matter. Yes, Seth, I'm still doing it. I am your host, Roll for Initiative. Hi, guys.
Fucking
hi.
22.
You got a 22? Okay, that's pretty good. Unfortunately, I think it still looks like you're going last.
Yeah, it's fine. I didn't take improved initiative.
No, you didn't, and all the monsters do, so it's just how these things work out sometimes.
Oh, wait, Patrick wants to say hi.
Yes.
Okay.
Hi from Catrick. We found it. We found the podcast. Yeah.
Told you.
I don't know. That sounded angry. Catrick sounds very angry today.
That sounded hungry. Did he eat?
He always eats. He never stops eating.
He never stops eating.
You've seen the size of this lad.
He is a chonky boy.
A chonkzilla.
For the three people still listening to this podcast, don't worry, my cat isn't fat, just large.
Oh yeah, hey. he's sturdy.
We have like 5 listeners.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. We could still have 5 when this episode comes out. We might even have 10.
Oof, don't push it. So yeah, we're here on a nice, lovely Saturday morning, bright and early, the earliest we've ever recorded. Not the earliest we've ever gamed, but the earliest we've ever recorded.
I didn't even show up knocking at your house today.
God, what was that, 8 o'clock in the morning, Seth?
Oh, it was bright and shiny, I'll tell you that. You were still in your PJs.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what? So am I today. So, oh, you know, there you are. Some things never change. So, yeah, we're here for recording of hopefully the final issue of Volume 2. And, hey, Alan, how you feeling today, champ? Feeling good? Feeling saucy?
I mean, I'm feeling pretty good. I don't know about Tate.
Yeah, Tate's kind of rough.
Tate's had a rough few volumes, few issues.
No, few volumes. Since the beginning, it's been rough for the guy.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. So, Alan, what do you hope happens with Tate today? What do you like want in your hardest of heart for Tate Temple?
I want him to have a nice defining moment where he realizes he can't do everything alone and has to team up with other people and help each other. But, like, okay. I know that it's going to be a hard won and hard earned, by which I mean something bad is going to happen to him.
Probably. So I'll just make a note to take him out of the fight as quickly as possible so you get nothing like that.
Valid, though.
We don't play games to have fun. We play games to be tortured. Everything is bad all the time.
The beatings hurt so good.
Well, you didn't need to phrase it like that.
I absolutely did.
I guess you did. I guess you had to, specifically. Well, speaking of you, Alex, how are you feeling today? Feeling good? Feeling all right?
Yeah. Could have slept a little bit better. Neck hurts a little bit, but otherwise, I'm alive.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. So, I mean, if you want, I could try to kill Todd as quickly as possible so that you can go back to taking a nap if you like.
Nah, you see, I got taken out of the big fight really fucking early last volume. I prefer to be there for more than the first scene and glubbing on the floor like a bitch.
Or we could set the trend that Todd just never manages to stand up in any final conflicts.
I'd really rather not.
Yeah. You deserve to play a little bit.
I want to feel like I'm part of the main cast.
What do you hope happens with Todd? Is it that you actually get to play in the final battle today?
If not a combat, I want to be part of the confrontation for more than, like, one round. That's the goal.
Make a note. Take Todd out of the conflict before it even starts. Cool. Everyone gets tortured. No one wins. Todd gets insta-killed. So, I see in our Discord room, we have someone commonly referred to as the best of us. The best of the rest of us.
Alan already talked, though.
Oh, that's kind of you. Only the best of us would say something so kind. Matt, how you doing?
Pretty fantastic.
Nice. Kind of a bit of an early morning. You set up with any coffee, any energy drinks, anything?
Nope, I just got a ginger seltzer water.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Sounds healthy.
Yeah, I'll probably do a coffee in a little bit.
Nice. A lot of things have happened to Recharge over the course of this story. What are you hoping for today? What are you feeling for Recharge?
I guess a little bit with the same thing that Alan's looking for, just kind of forming a team. Like, he did just take out a bunch of bad guys, but he did just meet up with Scott in the basement, and they're going to go do superhero stuff together.
Hell yeah. Like, real superhero stuff.
Yeah, we can be heroes.
Mm-hmm. No games, no child stuff.
Just at least being a goddamn hero. Day. Yeah.
At least for one day. Well, speaking of Seraph, Seraph's player is here today. Seth, hey, how's it going?
Sup?
What? No, okay.
No? Okay, fine. Hi, how's it going?
That's my thing.
Yeah, and I stole it.
It was fucking strange.
It's mine now.
How delinquent of you.
Oh, am I stealing that too?
Yeah. Ha ha. Why not steal everything of Alex's?
I quit.
Oh, no.
Nope.
Not even before the final conflict happens.
No, it's okay. You can keep Danielle. It's fine.
Oh, I wasn't even... Great, you made it weird, Seth. It was you.
It was me all along, didn't you know?
All right, let's just cut Seth's part out of this.
Yeah, we'll just cut...
the whole podcast.
We'll cut Seraph out in post of everything.
Horizon minus Seraph. It'll be a re-edit. It'll be a great time. Everyone will love it. It's like, wow, this is so much more optimistic and happy.
But also, you guys don't, like, edit out any of his, like, dialogue. It's like, if I'm talking to Seraph, it's just empty space.
Yeah, it's just silence for a little bit.
Yep.
Absolutely, I'm the imaginary friend.
That would actually be amazing.
We'll do it. We'll do the minus Seraph cut when this is all said and done.
We won't do it. I'm not doing that. It's a lot of work for a little payoff.
Patreon goal. Patreon stretch.
Yeah.
Patreon.
Yeah, the super fans get an episode without sans Seraph.
We could probably do an episode, like a Seraph heavy episode, but not an entire Seraph episode. Something where he's featured, but it doesn't rely on just him. That might be more possible. But Seth, can you endorse an energy drink to our listeners today?
You know, I'm really feeling the new 7-Eleven line of energy drinks.
I think you mentioned this before.
Yeah, they're just still really good. They're very sweet, but a lot of citrus. They've got a decent energy blend, nothing super special. Otherwise, if you want to spice up your energy drinks, go out and buy yourself a shot of Hemo Rage. What is it? It's a pre-workout. It's got a lot of shit in it that doesn't do anything, but one thing in it that does a lot. Throw it in your energy drink and you'll see sounds. It's fucking... It was a key component to my early iterations of Death Juice for Ubicon.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
That was Hemo Rage?
Hemo Rage.
Cool. Is that going to be your next superhero name?
Oh, my God. Don't tempt me.
Isn't seeing sounds synesthesia?
It is. That is correct. Synesthesia, being an excellent superhero from a very good comic series, short run, called, I think it was Top 10.
Who wrote it? Or not wrote it, but like who put it out?
Oh, some indie comic group, I think.
Indie company. Sounds like Boom. I'm going to go, that's my guess. My guess is for Boom.
It's always Boom or Dynamite or some other explosive comic book company. Yes, Synesthesia Jackson. I wish. Wait. I was kidding.
Is Synesthesia their actual first name and not a superhero name?
Okay, it's by Alan Moore. Top 10 was Alan Moore and Gene Ha.
I did not see Alan Moore coming, but okay.
I mean, no one does. Strong recommend, actually. I know you asked me for energy drink recommendations, but no, comic book recommendation. Go read Top 10.
Well, it's here. We're a comic book podcast, so that works too. Read a comic book, drink an energy drink. We support both. But neither supports us. We don't make money from this. Speaking of sad things, hey, Seth, tell me a little bit about Seraph. What's going on with him? What do you want out of him today?
Oh, boy. I would like... sorry. I would really like Seraph to get a nudge in some direction over whether or not he really is going to embrace the freak in himself. Because he had this great defining moment of self-acceptance, and then, oh, it was for nothing. Oh, it was for nothing again. And again. And I'd kind of like today to either push him into a, fuck it, that was a mistake, line of thinking, or, no, this is okay, this is who I am, let's go be a superhero.
Think we might reach a point like that, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, or we can leave him waffling for another season. I know everybody loves a waffler.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been pretty great. So, you know, sprinkle some syrup on them. It'll be great.
Syrupy. Syrupy syrup.
Well, so someone that I know probably likes syrup, but I could be surprised. Hi, Danielle.
Oh, hello. Yeah, the syrup thing. I actually went to Quebec once and my weird friends were like, hey, this is a place where you have like a lot of waffles and stuff and they have syrup on the tables. Let's see who could do in the most syrup shots. It was wild.
Did you win?
No. But I was, like, in second place, but first was tied, so technically third, I guess.
Technically third is the best way to be second place. Awesome. Danielle, how are you doing today? Doing all right? Early morning for you? Not so much? You wake up this early these days now?
Yeah. Actually, I got to sleep in a little bit. I go to work now for 8. So I leave at 7:30 and I wake up at 7.
Ah, like a proper miserable adult.
Very miserable. Yep, yep.
Welcome to the club. We hate to have you.
Glad you're finally here.
Bummer.
Yeah, big bummer. So Sky Valor is a hero in this story.
Is she?
What's going on? Yeah, I think so. Maybe. How are you feeling about her? What's happened to her so far? What are you looking forward to today that may or may not happen?
Well, she's been doing some big hero things lately, and I have very low standards for her this issue.
You would be.
I want her to survive. Maybe save a couple people or fight a bad guy, but you know, as long as she's not getting 6 conditions, then it's a good time.
Yeah, well, we'll call that a win as long as she's not getting punked out. Cool. Very yeah. Low standards.
Well, then Acid Splash would get exactly what he wants.
A dead Valor?
Well, either dead or running away crying like a baby. I think that would be his preference.
Like a bitch.
Yup. So I can't give him what he wants.
Oh, yes. Good. The best motivation for being a hero. Spite. Wonderful.
No, no, that's Danielle's motivation. You know, Sky just wants to save people, take down villains, the whole hero thing. Yeah, yeah, she just wants to help people and stuff.
Well, we'll see if she can do that. That's everyone. So I think we can actually get to the comic book, the issue, the gameplay. Unless anyone has any last questions, concerns, things they want to bring up, things they want to say to the entire internet before I murder you.
How are you, Chris?
Wait, what?
I'm doing okay. I'm about to murder a whole bunch of fools, both in-game and out-of-game.
Recipe for success.
Wow, I feel bad for those fools.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you, you fool, Danielle? I mean, yeah, that's...
You tried so hard, Chris.
Save that one. Nice.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, what's up?
You doing anything interesting today?
Well, nothing that's important for this.
Are you sure? I feel like you're doing something kind of cool today.
Okay, are you trying to get me to plug the cooking stream for the podcast that's going to come out months after?
Not plug it, but maybe discuss what a cool thing that is that you're doing that you might do again in the future.
Yeah, I'll probably do it in the future. The more I kill Pokemon and Nuzlocke, I suppose. People are now pushing me to do a Noodle stream because Noodle died, and what's the other food that died? Oh, an egg stream because Scrambies died.
I was just about to say it's named Scrambies, isn't it?
Yeah. Awesome. Yep. Well, Scrambles, and I just kept calling them Scrambies because I was like, it's better.
Yep, it is better. It's just across the board. Yeah, undeniably. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody remembers Peanut dying, though. What a shame. And beef sticks. I should do a beef stick stream.
Soon you're going to be nothing but Pokemon and cooking.
I definitely don't want to be a Pokemon Twitch streamer. I think I get flagged if I did a beef stick stream. That's the hot tub stream. Anis is the Alan. The hot tub stream is the beef stick stream.
Well, enough about me, Matt's beef stick. We'll start turning some pages and getting this going. Turning the page from our nice little intro story with Andromeda, we find the focus of our story to be on one Sky Valor, having just rescued someone I don't think she's ever met, but it's Natalie, Scott's best friend that he hasn't talked to in a while. If memory serves, Natalie was cartoonishly hanging over like a pit of acid or something ridiculous like that. And Sky Valor, you rescued her after thwarting Acid Splash's plans to put you in a tough situation.
With laser eyes.
So, Sky Valor, you've just saved Natalie and kind of freed her from her binding. She's still kind of wound up like a mummy because that was her costume for the Halloween dance that's so far in the past at this point. And it's just you and her standing in the chemistry class after all this has gone down. She's like holding her ribs a little bit, like they kind of hurt. But other than that, she seems fine.
I'll be courteous and ask her if she's okay.
She nods and says, "You know, it's funny. I thought this night couldn't get any worse, but somehow it just keeps getting worse and worse." And she winces a little bit and looks at her ribs where she's holding and then looks back up at you and kind of forces a smile. And she says, "That's a pre-existing condition."
Oh no. Well, I hope the night goes better for you from now on.
She like looks around the room and looks at the pit of acid and then looks back at you, and I think you're still dressed in one of your old costumes.
Yeah.
That, like, what, doesn't fit quite right?
It was like a romper because it ended up being cut down.
And she says, "Well, I hope the night looks better for you, too."
What did happen to you the other day?
You mean for this? And she just, like, points to her ribs.
Yeah, yeah, that.
And then she's like, do you have time for that sort of story?
We'll talk later.
There's, like, a panel of the two of you just awkwardly, quietly staring at each other before you say that.
Maybe the next thing is if she wants to, maybe I'll try and get her to Lexi so that, you know, they have somebody to watch each other's back.
Right. And I think as you're planning that, you hear the familiar sounds of laughing bubbling in your ear hole from the transmitter piece that you picked up at the beginning of all this.
Damn it, not again.
Oh, yes, Valor, again.
You're getting on my last nerve, Acid Splash.
Well, I wasn't trying to make any friends, Valor.
Good, because this isn't doing it.
No, my Acid Splash blends with the mayor a little bit sometimes. Ooh, yeah, hello, Maddie. It is I have been Acid Splash the whole time. Ooh, yeah, do you feel the burn? Tell me, Valor, how does it feel to be a hero? You feeling good? You saved a life. You thwarted the bad guy, because I didn't know you had eye lasers. Very crafty of you.
Full of surprises, Acid Splash.
Well, you're not the only one. Remember the bomb?
Yeah, how could I forget?
You may have saved a life, but I filled the water line with acid. And in just a second, the sprinkler system will go off, melting the flesh of every person in here. Say goodbye to being a hero. And the fire alarm goes off.
Dude!
And the sprinkler system kicks on.
No!
What's Madison's reaction? Is it like, dude, no?
Yeah, and then I think she just starts running. I feel like sprinting to the fuse or whatever would, like, cut off the sprinkler system. Just, like, her a split second of just running and thinking, okay, where am I running? Need some way to turn this off.
So, yeah, she starts running, and in the background of that panel, we see, like, Natalie just, like, standing there in the background wondering what the fuck is going on as the sprinkler system kicks off and the both of you get drenched. And you keep running. You, like, leave the room, and from behind you, Natalie, like, peeks her head out of the room to, like, look at you as you're running down the hall and not flying for some reason. And she says, "What? Where are you going? What's going on? Is water one of your weaknesses?"
I was told it might be acid. We should probably run and, like, find a way to turn off the sprinklers.
Natalie, like, holds out her arms. She says, "I think it's just water.
For now.
Are you okay? Do you need help?"
I might be driven a little bit crazy, but still, like..."
You hear a muttering in your ears saying, "Do you hear that, Valor? The sounds of people screaming. Why aren't there people screaming? What's going on? There should be people screaming. It should be a cacophony of screams. Well, this is very unfortunate, Valor. Very unfortunate. Someone has gone and spoiled my trick, it seems."
She just sighs of relief.
"I suppose that you lucked out for today. But remember, I'll be back. Acid Splash always comes back."
Yeah.
And he starts laughing again. And then the line cuts. Actually, fuck it. The earpiece explodes. It doesn't hurt you. You're invincible. But
yeah.
Like, it's a small explosion.
She has to compose herself after that. Well, all right. Good thing that it's not going to be acid.
Yeah, that is good. Natalie steps into the hall and just leans up against the wall. And she takes out her phone and begins scrolling through it. Sky Valor, what's... You have, like, smoke rising from your ear where the earpiece was hit from the explosion, maybe scorch marks in your skin. But like I said, you're fine otherwise. What are you thinking of doing next?
I guess walk with Natalie down to where we can meet other people. As she's walking with Natalie, she's like, "I've been through a day," and probably just maybe talking about what went on.
Yeah, and Natalie's on her phone as you guys are walking, and she's just like muttering, "Tell me about it. First I get stood up at the dance, and then this."
Oh my god, really? That sucks.
Yeah.
People, oh my god.
Well, they're not... I guess people aren't all bad, just the first ones that I choose to date, ever, I guess. But, you know, also, hey, I was almost killed by a supervillain today. That's an achievement for the life board, right?
At least you weren't. That's something.
Well, thanks to you.
It's nothing.
I mean, you saved a life. It's not really nothing.
It's just, it's what I do.
She puts her phone away. Like, you saw that she was, like, beginning to scroll through and maybe text to someone. But at this point, she actually just, like, looks over at you and puts the phone away with kind of a soft smile. She says, it may just be, like, a thing you do. Maybe you get used to doing it. But to be honest, for me, you're the only one that showed up today. So I think it means a little bit more for me, maybe.
Well, thank you. Hey, in a world where, you know, there are shitty people and stuff, you could always call me. I'll always be there.
She begins to say, like, do you have a number or, like, a direct line, or do I just call 911? And then we flip the page to a completely demolished gymnasium that once was a room used for Laserdisc and is now just a complete and absolute wreck. The sprinkler system is going off. So there's pools of water. Everything in the room is wet. There are three individuals in this room. One, the hulking, muscle-bound beast that is Pitbull. The other, the monstrous bird-like creature that is lying unconscious on the ground. And the third, Todd, how you looking?
Oh, I'm beat to shit. I would have been dirtier, but sprinklers. But right now, he's constantly wincing in pain. You ever, like, nick yourself shaving before you hop in the shower? It's like that, but everywhere.
So you're standing there, you're getting drenched. The sprinkler system just kind of kicked on. And Pitbull's leaning against a nearby wall. He's kind of looking down at the bird creature that's unconscious on the ground. And, like, kicks him just a little bit to, like, move his face out of a puddle so he doesn't drown, I guess. But his arms are crossed and his attention switches between the bird creature and you. Todd, you're kind of beat to shit, but you're also feeling some things. I think you have a few conditions marked. What's going on in your head right now?
Let's see. I think I was left over guilty from before, from how everything went with Tate and Mary at Salty Tears. I got really mad at this fucking bird because of the injury to Robbie, and I'm pretty sure that's the thing that's on his mind right now as he's just trying to catch his breath, rest a bit. He's mad because Robbie got hurt, but he's also afraid that it might be serious. That was a big contraption that fell.
Yeah, he could be really, really hurt. Or he could be dead.
He could be dead. The thing that's really crossing Todd's mind is, okay, I'm going to catch my breath. They need to go find that python motherfucker so I can see if Robbie's okay.
And I think as you're catching your breath, Pitbull, he looks over at you and he says, you know, you're not so bad in a fight, I guess. I'm still stronger than you, though.
No arguments here, big guy. I've been practicing a bit. Wasn't expecting this today, though.
You need more muscle. That's what you need.
Maybe I should stop working on Fort just a bit and start doing a little muscle training. Maybe this would have gone better.
Gotta make those gains.
Jesus Christ.
And he flexes a bit as he's talking, like just a little bit. Like he needs to show off how muscular he is.
So what do we do now? Wait for him to wake up and he kicks him again.
We should probably use some of the debris, maybe bind him up with, maybe like a support or something fell during the fight. And Todd will just point to that. You could probably bend that, right?
You saying I can't?
I'm saying I'd like to see you try.
Oh, he gives you a look that says, oh, I'm going to fucking do it. And he finds something that's not like absolutely ridiculous, not like a, you know, several inch thick piece of steel or something. But he finds something he can bend and adequately bind the bird guy. I think in the process of doing that, you see him. He like looks down at his shorts a couple of times and they're just wrecked from a fight. I forget exactly what happened, but I'm pretty sure they're ruined. When he's done binding Birdman, he, crouches down and he takes a quick selfie with, like, you in the background, just, like, looming over Birdman. And you see him, like, shoot out a quick message to someone.
You think you could ask your buddy where he took my friend? Need to make sure he's okay.
Your friend? Oh, the runt that got crushed?
Yeah, I don't have time to correct you.
he nods and he'll begin shooting off another message. But as he does, speech and sound bubbles from outside the gymnasium, and it kind of sounds like it's just coming through from actually outside the school, and you can hear a gathering crowd just panicking. You hear screaming people, and you hear authorities through like futuristic megaphones or speakers of some sort, just calling out and trying to get everything under control.
Todd'll say, huh, cool. And like always, cops are fucking late.
Can't trust them.
That's why we have superheroes, I guess. Because the cops are inefficient. He'll stand up at that point.
Pipple kind of spits when you say that, but he also stands up. And I think as two of you are standing up, we flip the page and jump on over to Tate outside, where it's not wet because there's no sprinkler systems outside.
Nope. In fact, there's a giant inferno in the middle of the stadium.
Yes. Alan, what I would like to do is backstep a little bit from where we left off, because I think we left off with you joining Chadworth in fighting off a horde of shadowy ghosts, right?
Yeah, that's where we left off.
I want to take a step back a little bit, not too much, to the point where you're walking away from a dead or dying Mary and Sky, your sister, in the background, and approaching this conflict in the field that Chadworth is just hurling fireballs at a whole bunch of ghosts, which is an amazing sentence. And I think in the panels that we see Tate walking away from his younger sister, from someone he used to know lying on the ground, bleeding out, that, and as he approaches this fight, is a good point to, like, hear his inner thoughts or hear him do a little bit of narration on what's going on in his head, if you can give me a little speech from his perspective.
Probably the first thing is just, like, I was too late. We were so close, but I couldn't do it. Like, even with Chadworth, it wasn't enough. I didn't destroy her, but it's still my fault. It is still my fault because I made the choice to not give in. And he's, like, you can see on his face, like, he's just, like, it is not still. He's angry and also guilty and insecure and a little hopeless because he was going to show up. He was going to save them. It was going to be in time. And then it wasn't. And he's still processing that because it was so close. And if he had only, like, a little bit faster, if he had been a little bit stronger, a little bit more control over what he could do, then maybe this wouldn't have happened. So there's just tons of regret also. Right now, mostly, like, he's just angry. He's just so angry that this person that he's just reconciled with, they talked about what it was going to be going forward. They were going to start over as friends and it was going to be okay. And now she's gone. And she's gone because he made a decision that ended with her getting hurt and or dying. And so it's, even though he isn't the one that did it, it's still his fault. And so there are these shadowy ghosts that are still coming that Chadworth is doing his best to fight off. But Tate realizes, like, you know, this isn't Chadworth's fight. This is my fight. Like, I can't let other people get hurt again because of my actions.
And that's where you step into the battle?
And that's where I step into the battle.
And I think in the background of all of that, because we're facing you as you're walking towards Chadworth, and in the background, like, over your shoulders, we can see Mary laying on the ground. And we see your sister Sky, like, kneeling at her side. And when you first start walking away and beginning having these thoughts and beginning this narration, a couple of small speech bubbles from Sky saying, Tate, where are you going? Tate! And as you get further away, it turns into, help! Help somebody! And even further still, it just devolves into her yelling loudly for someone, anyone, to come help. And at that point, we turn the page and we are behind Horizon High, behind the school, where things are relatively quiet. The haunted houses, no one's around. as we look over like the football field nearby, we can see swarms of like dark ghosts setting in on the unlikely duo that is Tate and Chadworth. But slumped behind the school on the ground back against the wall is Nathaniel, who's breathing kind of heavily, looking a bit out of sorts. And he stares up to the sky. And in that panel, we can see this reddish-orange light closing in on Horizon High. He watches for a moment. He lights a cigarette, takes a puff, and lowers his gaze down to the battle happening on the football field. Although small, Sky's speech bubbles, her pleas for help, are visible in these panels. Nate can definitely hear her, at least a little bit. He takes another puff, almost looks at where the speech bubbles are coming from, and he just mutters,
"You can't save everyone, Nate. That's just not how these things play out."
Then there's a silent panel of him removing the cigarette from his mouth and just sitting there. Sky continues to scream for help in the background. Another silent panel, there's nothing. And then finally, a very small speech bubble from him that just says,
"Bloody hell."
He struggles, but stands. And then we turn the page. In the now soaking wet basements, right outside the secret base, is Recharge and Seraph, who, again, we're taking a few steps back from where we left your issue on. I'm a big fan of doing that, rewinding just a little bit to reset the stage. The two of you are there, having just met up, having just gotten the situation with the goon squad with Jimmy and other Jimmy and whoever the fuck the third guy was under control. I think we see the two of you in the hallway, and then there's a blip that says Recharge has got a message, and it displays on his helmet that he has received a message recently. You get a beep boop doop from receiving a text message, and it's from Pitbull.
I didn't expect that one. Okay. yeah. As we're running out of the...
Oh, you also get a call from Greg.
Fuck me. All right. Okay. Then, as we're running out of the, like, boiler room or wherever the hell we were, or, like, through the hallways, I'll get the first text message, pull it up as we're running.
Sure. It's a picture message. The picture is Pitbull taking a selfie with an unconscious bird human monstrosity on the ground wrapped up in bent metal, and Todd looking like he's kind of had a rough go of things behind the bird guy. And the message from Pitbull is, "Check out this asshole I beat up. Gonna need new shorts if you can hook me up."
Look, I have a shorts guy.
"Only one casualty, some twerp."
I'll send him a thumbs up and a good job, and then "you a hero now?" question mark. And then I guess I get a call at the same time.
Yeah, you kick that off, and then that's probably when you get a call from Greg.
So yeah, as we're like running through the hallway, then I think that's what it'll be. We'll have like the panel, I think, would kind of be set up like just over Seraph and I, is like the text messages going by, the picture, the like obviously funny picture, then the responses, and then like the responses kind of like fade into like the ringtone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The beep boop a doop. And then, yeah, I'll answer the call.
Then, yeah, you answer the phone, the call that's coming in from Greg on your helmet. And immediately he's like, "All my stuff's getting wet. What did you do? This is terrible." And you just hear a ruckus going on in the background.
I'll start yelling, "I didn't do it. Acid Splash did it. I actually stopped it. Hey, that could have been acid."
It could have been acid?
Yes. Oh, that's... You put acid in the sprinkler system.
Okay, well, okay. Good on you for stopping that. That would be much worse.
Yeah, me and the angel guy did it. What was your... Scott.
Yeah.
As we're running next to... Oh, sorry. I'm on the phone.
I know.
Do you want to say hi?
No, it's fine. What? Aren't we doing something?
Recharge, I don't have a lot of time. I just wanted to let you know that all my stuff is going haywire. I don't know how much I'm going to be able to help out. I'm trying to save as much stuff as I can get. I really should have thought about the sprinkler system before I put all the tech in this room.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a big problem. Okay.
Recharge, your phone starts going off. Like your phone.
Hey, are we doing something here or what?
Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, God, it's in the suit. Hold on.
I feel like a lot's going on right now.
I know, I have a lot of calls incoming. There's a lot going on, Scott, that you don't understand.
I mean a lot of important things, not involving
the phone. No, these are the important things. There's a bird man in the freaking gym. There are ghosts attacking the haunted house. There's so much going on, Scott.
I swung by the gym. It's fine.
Oh. Oh, neat. Okay, so we'll check the gym off. Wait, Pipple was in there. Yeah, he said he got it. Either way.
Right.
Shit. Okay, personal phone.
Yeah, you're fumbling around to get your personal phone, which is in your suit. So, and as you're doing that, like, I imagine you guys obviously have started moving. And while Recharge is taking all the calls, Scott's just, like, awkwardly and quietly looking in the background.
Slowly growing impatient.
And as you're moving, as you're pulling out your personal phone, Recharge, to answer the phone call that you see is from Lexi, the two of you round a corner, like, mid-arguments about important things to do. Just as Lexi rounds the corner on her phone, very nearly bumping into Scott as she does so. And she's just drenched. Like, oh, everyone's super wet. The sprinklers are still going.
Oh, sorry.
She just, like, looks at the two of you and slowly lowers the phone.
Hey, you should probably, not be here in this school.
Yeah. I kind of figured I'm looking for someone.
Who are you looking for?
You guys haven't seen a boy about yay tall, kind of red hair, kind of cute, named Pep.
Does he often go in the basement?
I'm not really sure where else to look, and I'm not really reaching him, so.
You don't want to go down there.
Looks confused. Why not?
Villains?
Lots of villains. Yep.
Yep.
A lot of bad guys.
They're handled, but they're down there. Might not be safe.
Defeated. Definitely.
I saw him in the gym.
Okay. So you saw Pep in the gym?
Like, when all this started, yeah. So, you know, he's probably long gone by now.
I mean, I was in the gym when all this started.
So you saw him there, too?
Well, we split up after, oh, Tyler Cadence, oh no.
Oh, he'll be okay.
Actually, wait, you took him. Is he okay?
I got him in an ambulance. I think he'll be fine. His skin stopped melting off while we were running through the street, mostly because he was out of skin, but it didn't seem to go any deeper than that. So, you know.
Her eyes widen when you say that. She's like, oh.
Yeah, it was horrifying. I'll never sleep again.
I don't envy you having to do that, but I'm glad you did.
Yeah, well, you gotta. Anyway.
Yeah, unless you're.
I think we have to go
stuck here holding the towels.
Ghosts. I think we have to go punch ghosts. Recharge? Punching ghosts?
I think the ghosts are attacking the haunted house, yes.
All right. You should probably do the evacuating. If we find Pep, we'll let you know.
Should we tell him to meet you somewhere?
Could you just have him call me so I know he's okay?
Yeah. You're Lexi, right? All right. Okay, you should seriously evacuate now. We got to go.
Okay. Also, real quick, I'm sorry. Recharge, I'm a big fan. I hear about you like online a lot. So, like, keep up the good work. And she smiles at you, Recharge. And then she turns to you, Seraph. And she she just nods and says, thanks for everything, Scott. And she heads off.
Yeah, bye, Lexi.
Like, the panel, like, cuts back. It's, like, Scott up front, and then Recharge, like, puffing out his chest and, like, holding up a thumb awkwardly. But, like, inside the suit, he's, like, fucking dying.
Oh, yeah, and she's going down the hall, and she, like, turns around, and she's, like, walking backwards, and she sees you're holding up a thumb, and she holds up her thumb. And then she slips on some water and stumbles and catches herself on the lockers a little bit and yells
careful.
Out, I'm fine. I'm okay.
Are you yeah. All right?
No, I'm okay. Okay. I'm good. Right. I'm good. I got this. I can walk. Okay. I promise. Okay. Yeah, I'm just going to. Yep. Okay.
Finger guns.
She's like right back at you. Oh, God. And she leaves.
Oh, God. What am I doing? Like, Recharge butters like so only like Scott could hear. He's like, oh, God. What am I doing?
Dude, she's pretty cool.
Yeah, she seems pretty neat.
Really, really keeps your head under pressure. That's shame. I'm a
and it's at this point
horrifying mutant freak, or I might go after that. Oh no, what's that?
Very small speech bubble from Scott.
Is it a speech bubble or a thought bubble?
Ooh,
oh, that's a speech bubble.
Okay, good, good, good. Just full self-deprecating.
Yeah, wonderful. And it's at that point that we hear it. We see it. This loud crashing sound that shakes the very foundation of the high school.
Kaboom! What's the onomatopoeia they put in there? It's not a kaboom, is it? It's like a grrr,
crash. Crachow.
Ooh, crachow. That's a good one.
Yeah, you like Kerchow.
Yeah, okay. But it's a bunch of R's that lead into it, like a big cracky Kerchow.
Yeah, 100%.
But the CH are the biggest two letters in it, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when we turn the page, we get this nice full page artwork. And in the middle of it is an exterior view of Horizon High. And this light from the sky just crashes into and through the school, straight from the upper floor in the back to the lower floor on the front. And in this art on this page, we can see that there is a crowd gathered outside the front of Horizon High, students, faculty, police vehicles of all sorts lighting up. There's probably police like helping people and trying to keep people back in the crowd, and maybe even firing at some stray ghosts. In this panel where this light crashes through the school and lands to the front, surrounding it, I think we get cutaways of each of your characters with the crachow signaling that something big has hit the school, drawing your attentions from whatever it was you were doing when we left you off most recently. Sky talking to Natalie, having like a nice sincere moment about being a hero and making a difference. A ragged looking Todd picking himself up in the gym to maybe start going find his buddy. Tate back to back with flaming Chadworth in the midst of a maelstrom of shadowy ghost-like figures. And then the amazing buddy cop duo that is Recharge and Seraph. I think after this thing hits, like I said, the school shakes and it's still not doing great. Those of you who are probably on like the first floor, which I think might just be Recharge, Seraph, and maybe even Todd to an extent, can feel just this rush of air after or as the building shakes. Just something big and powerful has crashed through the school. And there's definitely a commotion out front.
Cut to a quick splash of frames of each of us tear-assing towards it.
Well, I think at this point, we can definitely see most of you busting ass to get to the front of the school. We'll start with Tate, though. Tate, you're in the midst of this battle. You are fighting off these ghosts with Chadworth. And now that you've joined the fray and are thoroughly, like, probably a little bit pissed off, and, you know, you have something to prove, you have something to do, I think since you've joined, you've actually helped swing the tides of this battle significantly.
Yeah, there's something in particular that I wanted to try with this, and I was angry enough to give it a go, and I haven't done it before, but it's one of the Nova powers that I got.
I'm going to say that, like, if you want to be creative right now, you don't have to roll anything. This is all narrative. There's nothing at stake, really, in this battle right now. Nothing important anyways.
Perfect. Then one of the things that I got with those powers is Construct. I'm angry. All of these ghosts are coming. And so what I'm going to do is, as Chadworth is throwing out all these, like, fireballs and creating all this flame, I'm going to imbue life in it and totally create a dragon out of fire.
Oh, okay. So we see him. He's kind of slowing down because he's been at this for a while. And you just, do you even tell him what you're doing? And you just kind of like do it?
I think I'm like, I got this. And like all of his fire just comes to life in this being.
Awesome. So yeah, we see that. And I think in the middle of this is where the crachow happens. And you can see the glints of this light crashing into the school, Tate. As the dragon of flames that you have helped manifest is spinning around you and Chadworth, you hear in your head,
"You're too late."
You see Tate shout out loud, "Stop saying that!"
"I didn't say anything, dude," says Chadworth.
"Like, not you, the evil god in my head."
"Oh, okay, wait, what?" And, yeah, and I think it's at this point, he says, "Listen, man, if you have something to take care of, I got this. I know I got this."
At this point, Tate will actually look back at where Sky and Mary are.
Yeah, looking back at them, Sky's not saying anything anymore. She's not pleading for help. She's just kind of kneeling over Mary and, like, holding her hand.
And it's like, now I'm looking at her and then also looking where the thing just crash landed. And last time I made the choice, I made not necessarily the best choice. So this time I'm going to go to Mary and Sky and help them out instead of going towards the thing that just crash landed.
And I think as you start, as you peel away from the combat and you start moving across the battlefield, you hear the crunching of like grass from your side. And glancing over, you see Nate like limping over, like moving the same direction you're moving, a lit cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Oh, perfect. I'll point at them and then look at him and like, can you help them?
He nods and says, well, I can certainly try. Make no promises. But I think you have a destiny to meet, mate.
Okay. And then I'll book it.
Don't go dying on me, Tate.
Just a long, dragged out like speech bubble that says no promises.
Yeah, and you rush off. And with that, all the heroes are on the way to the front of the school, one way or the other. Then let's, we'll just kind of run down the list from the bottom up this time, and you can just paint me a quick series of panels describing you guys getting to the front of the school, however you do it. We'll start with Danielle. Last we saw, you were talking with Natalie and having a very touching moment. I think she just asked for your number, actually. She's like, do you have like a actual number or?
And then I just go, I'm like, yeah. And then I just kind of do that future thing where you just send over the number like wirelessly.
Right. And then ka-chow.
I just look startled in the direction where it came from. And I'm like, what was that? And then
it sounded like a ka-chow.
I'm like, I need to go check that out.
I need to not go check that out. I'm going to go in the opposite direction, I think.
I'll give her Lexi's number, too. I'm like, if you need anybody, call Lexi for now. And then I run off.
And you leave her standing there just going, who the hell's Lexi?
I'm like, call me, too, if you need a problem. If you have a problem.
Call me if you need a problem. Sky Valor slogan.
I mean, I guess that's not wrong either.
Natalie just like shakes her head and like smiles a bit. And she says, wow, Sky Valor makes me feel like I have my life together.
I'm like, okay. I just sigh and say, it's been a long day as I run towards the thing.
And yeah, and Natalie heads off carefully through the rubble and the falling apart school.
I mean, she was going to go alone. So I'm just like, hey, if you need help, there's these two numbers. Great.
Yeah, it sounds good. Definitely. And yeah, Valor, you fly off towards the front of the school?
Yes.
Great. Are you emerging in the sky, Valor?
Yeah, why not?
Cool. So we'll leave you off busting out of like the front of the school, hovering in the sky to see what happens. Recharge and Seraph, give me your scrambling panels.
I was thinking Seraph would just be like, oh no. And then just start running through walls to get to the front of the school.
Something has already crashed through the ceiling of the school. Yeah, we can run straight through the walls.
That's awesome. And Seraph, you may or may not even notice at this point as you're busting through walls and focus on what's going on. But at least, at the very least, the readers will see the very small beep boop a doop coming from your personal network of an incoming phone call. Which I guess you have the contact lenses, so you probably do see it coming in.
Yeah. Does it say who it's from?
Yeah, it's from Natalie.
This is important. I'd probably crash through a wall, wave my hand to accept the call. Just like, hi, Nat, not a great time. Are you safe?
What, are we taking phone calls now?
You did it first.
Yeah, I know it's not a bad time. I want to make sure you're all right.
Yep. Nope. Something just crashed into the school, running to go help.
It's a lot of noise around you. Who was that in the background, by the way?
Recharge. I'm actually going to stop and just have a moment of, wait, I'm running to help. Nat, should I be running to help or should I be running away?
Is this regarding the ka-chow?
Yeah, this is the ka-chow.
Oh. Do you really want my opinion?
Panel of like Recharge running in place is like they talk.
Yeah, I do.
And before she gives her answer, pause, because I think if everyone's on board, what if you guys are stopped in the broken down gymnasium with Pitbull and Todd in the background?
I just crashed the wall. They're staring at us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so in the background, or at least switching perspectives for a second, Pitbull and Todd, Seraph and Recharge come crashing through a wall, stop in the middle of the broken down gymnasium. And it looks like maybe one of them's on a phone call or something. Recharge is jogging in place.
Just like lean towards Pitbull and be like, I don't think we're going to be having school for a few weeks.
He's looking at Recharge saying, wow, if he has my shorts, that was
very quick.
Just like before, Tom was like leaning towards him to say that. Now he's just a panel of him just turning his head and looking at him.
And without even looking at you, Pitbull just says, "He's my pants guy. Decently strong in a fight. Pretty good at finding clothing."
I heard some noise outside. You ready for another fight?
Oh, he cracks his neck. And he looks at you and then cracks your neck.
All right. Todd, with his head at a really weird angle, just runs out the door with Pitbull. "Hey, losers, there's something dangerous outside. Get off the phone." And just heads towards the door.
Perfect. They book it. Pitbull's going to pick up Birdman and just like hoist him over the shoulder.
Nah, good idea. You need a weapon.
He looks at you like, "Oh, your head was where my head was at. Good. We're on the same page." And then, so that all happens in the background. And we wait for Natalie's response. She says, "Scott, I think a lot of people are getting hurt, and a lot more will probably get hurt if the people who can do something about this don't. If you think you can help, you probably should."
"Don't you think I might just end up hurting people more?"
"Scott, I was literally dangling above a vat of acid, and Sky Valor saved me. Don't think that thought ever crossed her mind. And maybe that's what being a hero is."
"You're right. You're right. You're right. You're safe?"
"I'm getting there. I'm getting out of the school."
"All right. I'm glad you didn't go in the acid."
"Yeah, me too."
"Yeah. Okay. I'll, see ya."
"Yeah, you better." Click.
"Okay. Wait. Okay. So, what the hell was that?"
"Nothing. Let's go."
No. Whoa. No. Fine. We're talking while we're running. But seriously, what the hell was that?"
"Nothing."
"No. What do you mean nothing? You're not in the headspace to fight something."
"Yeah. Well, now I am. I got a pep talk. My
talk was a pep talk?
That was a pep talk.
You sounded like you were going to cry at the end."
"Maybe I want.
Do you need to? Do you cry out of all those eyes?"
"No, I've cried since I changed. Can't anymore."
"Oh, that's it.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. But okay, we're going to kick this thing's ass. Whatever it is, or whoever it is.
Crash to a wall.
However many there are. Crash." "Oh, hey, that's Pitbull up ahead. I wish I had some pants for him. Really hairy legs."
"Yeah, very hairy." But also Todd's running like behind him a little bit. Todd, were you carrying a weapon? Do you have a weapon?
Oh, I probably picked up a piece of scrap metal on the way out.
Wonderful.
just rebar.
Yeah, it's just rebar. Great. And the lot of you basically break through the front of the school to see what's up.
Yep.
Wonderful. And then last but not least, Tate, you were just running, I think. Are you just running around the school? How are you getting there?
I mean, I'm activating my super speed. So basically it looks like the world warps, and then I go real fast in a flash. I have nobody to talk to and no phone calls, and I'm not having to, like, break through the building, so I might get there sooner.
Yeah, so it's just, like, one panel of you starting up your super speed, and then the other panel of you running to the front of the school. And everyone reaches the front of the school. Pitbull, Todd, Recharge, Seraph, on ground level, busting through a wall at the front, Sky Valor up in the sky. Fittingly enough, and then Tate running around the side of the school. And like I said, there's a crowd gathered some comfortable distance away from the actual school, which at this point is just a complete fucking wreck. And there's several police vehicles at this point, like blocking the crowd in, and they have people stationed up, law enforcement agents stationed up at the front of the crowd, both to keep the crowd back and to keep dangers from like breaking the line, essentially. You can even see as you get up here, a few of these agents taking shots at some scattered shadowy ghosts that are floating around. Definitely laser pistols shooting at ghosts. But that's all background at this point, because the real spectacle is floating several stories up from the ground is a individual, a person, a man who is of exceptional physique, muscles, but he's not pit bull strong. You know, he's lean, muscular, and he's surrounded by this dull red burning aura. No shirts, just like cloth slacks, no shoes or anything.
on his back are these pair of wide wings. They are not white, but you can tell that they maybe have used to be white and have since dulled in color. Now blackens, some are stained and have been stained for a while now, red with blood. On his head is a very Egyptian style crown. His one eye, for those of you with keen senses, so especially Sky Valor, his one eye is basically like the Millennium Eye from Yu-Gi-Oh!
Jesus Christ. That's your move, Yugi boy.
Yeah. And he has this really ornate necklace on and a staff or a scepter like stuck in a belt around his waist. He's looking down, and in one hand he has around the throats a new hero known as Little Miracle, holding him up and like looking at him. And Little Miracle is struggling. You know, he's wearing this nice white set of clothing that's now just covered in a little bit of dust and debris and probably even blood at this point. But Little Miracle, having gone through the transformation of being Little Miracle, is a physically fit teenager, completely opposite of one William Wendell. And he's being held up, seemingly helpless. In this man's other hand is a young girl about all of your ages. Blonde hair, dressed up like an angel because it's a costume party, it's Halloween. And she's also being held up. And he's looking at the two of them. When he turns his attention to the girl, he casually just like throws her. And it's at that point, Sky Valor, you have super senses, like actual super senses at this point, right?
Yeah, this whole night she's been like hearing like things louder than normal and seeing things better than normal. And
yeah, so a lot of this might be from your perspective, since you're going to get the most detail out of this, and especially since you're probably at roughly the same height as all of this is going on. The man with the Egyptian crown, he says nothing as he's doing this, but you can hear the crackling of his aura. And occasionally it like sparks shoot out between his aura and maybe like an invisible aura that's surrounding Little Miracle. He throws the girl dressed as an angel just casually off to the side. And it's at that point you hear struggling from Little Miracle is just, "You can't hurt her." And there's this bright flash of lights as it rockets this dude with the crown back into the structure of the school. Little Miracle is freed, but only just so to catch this girl before she collides with the ground. And it's that moment that all of you kind of arrive on scene and are ready to intervene if necessary, with Little Miracle kind of in a hero pose, holding, cradling her in his arms, swaying just a little bit. Does anyone want to do anything at this point?
I'm probably going to run over to William.
I'm following Scott.
Sarah, if you run over to Little Miracle, who his attention is fully on the girl he has in his hands, and he doesn't really even notice you until you're very close to him. And you can see he's breathing rather deep at this point.
Is she okay?
I think so. And he slowly looks up at you, Seraph, and he smiles. Seraph, I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, we're all here. What's going on?
I don't know. But what I do know is he struggles to stand up and he can't at this point. He falls back down to one knee. What I do know is that I can't let anything happen to her.
Don't worry. None of us will.
Recharge will like raise his hand from the bag and just be, who is she?
Oh, Recharge. I am glad to see you're here.
I'm glad to see you're here too. Person I've never met.
And he strikes like a heroic pose.
You're exactly everything I thought you would be in person. And he looks back down at the girl and he says, I don't know who she is. I think her name is Sophie.
But not to be rude, who are you?
I'm, and then there's
oh, sorry
this...
guys, let me
sure. As you're both getting ready to introduce one of the dumbest heroes in this story, there's this crackling sound as wall and roof from the school begin to cave in and actually blast out as this beam of bright blue energy blows a crater into the top of the school. And then with a flap of the wings, the guy with the crown, he floats out and brushes some rubble off his shoulders. Tate, from your perspective down on the ground, looking up at this guy, you hear again,
"There's nothing you can do. This is the end."
I think with everything that's happened, Tate has finally had a chance to sort of let loose, and now he's a little bit calmer. So he is tired of this voice in his head. So you're just going to see him sort of reach out and pretend to turn down the volume. Like, I don't
what
have time.
What are you doing? That doesn't even mean anything.
just slowly turning down the dial. And he's like, "I can't fly. So this is going to be tricky."
Great. So that's what Tate's doing. Let's get some reaction shots from Todd and Sky. We'll start with Todd.
So Todd's looking up. He sees this guy flying around, just blew that energy beam through the school. Sees this new guy on the ground who just punched this man through into the building. Sighs, picks up a piece of debris, hunk of rock, and he fucking chucks it at the guy flying and yells, "Get the fuck off my school."
Fearless. I love it. You do that as, in the background, we can see, as all this is going on, Pitbull still holding Birdman, just, like, sprints towards the front of the crowd and just, like, throws Birdman onto a police vehicle and then, like, sprints back. And then you chuck this rock up at this dude. And I think that's a good point to skip to Sky Valor's perspective. Sky, what's your reaction right now?
It's a lot. Little miracle, I knew that, like, William Wendell had that whole thing with the ring and everything and his powers. So this is kind of like, oh, wow, this turned into this. And I don't know, because I know before he was a danger to, you know, he was a danger to himself and everything like that. And it's just like, okay, is he going to be okay? Is this like what's going on with this other guy? Like, how did this start? What is this kind of thing going on? So she's just like, I guess, trying to make something out of the situation.
Right. And I think as you're assessing the situation, what you do see as you're in the sky, and this guy, he doesn't seem to notice you, even though you guys are roughly kind of in the vicinity of each other. And you see him get pelted by like a rock, and it just like bounces off his body. And there's a slight movement of his head downwards to like look at Todd and then back up. And his hand goes to the like scepter at his side and he braces it briefly. And the air in the area gets colder. Everyone can feel it.
Well, that kind of changes things.
It's at this point, like, just the vicinity not only gets colder, it gets darker until peeling away from the ground or rising through the ground are these spectral forms of warriors, of decaying warriors, skeletal warriors, if you will. Not the shadows that Tate and Chadworth were fighting in the back, but things that are more defined, things that aren't just ectoplasm, things that begin taking on a life even though they are risen from the dead.
This is super not okay. And with that development, she stops assessing and starts realizing, oh, yeah, well, he wasn't just some guy that ended up in the wrong fight with Little Miracle. Maybe they were both in the wrong. Nope, this guy's dangerous. This guy's dangerous. And then she's just gonna, I guess, try and like deck him.
Sure. You get ready to deck him, and which we can get to in just a second, but you will hear the crowd below screaming as the area around the front of the school becomes infested with undead monstrosities. Even the authorities are just starting to turn their attention to these creatures and start firing at them, and they're giving out orders for all citizens to back away, and you're not really sure, at least some of you, they're probably not talking to Sky Valor, but they might be talking to some of the rest of you. At this point, Sky Valor, you're going in to just punch him, and you'll see that even though you're heading straight to him, he doesn't seem to acknowledge you whatsoever. He just looks down at Little Miracle, Seraph, and Recharge on the ground.
So he looks at us, and then like a top down view again from like his perspective of us, and there's just a speech bubble coming from Recharge that's just like,
"Is he looking at us? Oh god, Mystery Guy and Scott, are you ready to do this?
Hey, Recharge. For right now, call me Seraph.
Boom.
Thing. You did the thing.
With that, one step forward, flap of the wings, flying into the air, arm cocked all the way back.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, let's deck him. Together.
Says, fuck yeah.
Awesome. Great. So yeah, Sky Valor and Seraph are both going towards someone I'm going to start referring to as Pharaoh, as has maybe been hinted in prior issues. We'll just lead with Sky Valor because she hopped right in on it. Punch first, ask questions later.
Yeah, my initial thing is always to like fight the good fight because, bam, it's my signature. I don't have to roll plus danger, which is bad. So I think I'm just going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do that. Just going all non-lethal on him.
11.
11's great. I believe that lets you get to pick two from the directly engage a threat move list of things you can accomplish. You just can't pick impress, surprise, or frighten.
Okay, so I mean, three of these are very good. I'm going to resist his blows and take the staff.
Okay, sure. So by resisting his blows, what does that look like?
I don't know exactly what his powers are, but if he was just kind of trying to like swipe at me with the staff, I would just take it from him.
You get in close, you punch him right in the jaw, just like Grandpa Valor always taught you, punch the bad guys in the jaw.
Right in the jaw.
His body doesn't move, his head just kind of spins to the side, and you spin around him, and you yank the staff from where he has it kind of tucked into his belt. He doesn't even throw a punch at you. You avoid his blows because he doesn't throw any. But he does look at you at this point.
That's fair. I deserve it.
And Seraph, as you're flying up, you do hear the sounds of conflict going on below you. The undead warriors fighting the police, maybe antagonizing the crowd, people fleeing. But in front of you, you see Sky Valor pull this off. And you can also see the burning aura around Pharaoh kind of coalesce. And this form a bead of energy right in front of him as he begins to like reach out to blast Sky Valor.
Oh, dang. I was going to deal with the mooks. Yeah, flying through the air, arm pulled back, sees this happening, eyes go wide, all of them. Wings flap one more time, launching him forward into Sky Valor in an attempt to defend.
Nice. Look at you go. Roll 2d6 plus savior.
Alright. Hi, I got good savior. That's an 8 total.
So an 8, it costs you to save Sky Valor. You expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation.
I will expose myself to danger.
Are you just throwing her out of the way?
Oh, I'm like straight up flying, shoving her out of the way. I will be in the line of fire.
Yeah, and that's exactly how it plays out. You basically throw her out of the way and get caught by this bright blue energy blast. And it scorches your flesh and it burns. There's a sensation to this energy that's not of this world. Although it is ripping apart your skin or trying to with your newfound mutated armor. And as you get caught in this and we see just like the black outline of your body in the energy blast, I'm going to have to ask you to roll to take a powerful blow. Which is 2d6 plus all your conditions, which I don't think you have any.
Nope, I'm condition free. 2d6. Low roll. 5.
You stand strong in the face of this blast. You mark potential and tell me how you weather the blow.
Yeah, so beam of light, point blank, shoves Sky out of the way and then just wraps his wings around himself, like just turning to this ball of cocooned feathers in the sky. The light clears. And he's just flying there, wings supporting him, staring the sky in the face.
A little bit of smoke coming off of you?
Steam, at the very least. He is now dry.
Great. We cut to the ground floor, where the others are standing. And the undead horde of summoned skeletal warriors begin descending on the front line that the authorities have set up. And by this point, the crowd of civilians are running away. But yeah, the authorities are trying to hold the front line and get people out of there. You guys are on the ground floor. You saw everything happen with Sky Valor and Scott slash Seraph. Little Miracle still kind of on one knee. He tries to stand up to like help and do something, but he just can't. He doesn't seem to have the strength to do it.
I want to ask Recharge really quick. Do you think you can take them out?
Yeah, Recharge will, like, swing his head around and say,
Oh.
He'll, like, look up to the big thing flying in the sky, look down to the skeletons, and he'll say,
guess I'm on ground duty. Yeah, I got this.
Okay, because Tate is going to use his Nova power, but instead of creating a barrier that keeps everything out, he wants to use it to surround all the skeleton warriors with them and create a cage fight. So they won't be able to attack the citizens or, like, the normal people. They'll only be able to fight us.
You got to generate burn to use your Nova
power? Yeah, but this is my plan. I want to generate burn so that I can sort of reinterpret the moat that he creates to trap them inside instead of keeping them out.
So you're going to roll to basically charge up as the skeletal warriors will begin to clash with the front line of the local authorities.
Is there like debris laying around?
Oh yeah, tons of it.
Yeah, if there's any brick or metal laying around, Recharge will like reach down, pick up a chunk of it and like close it in his fist. And then use his substance mimicry to like make him like give himself like stone fists for punching skeletons. Tate and Little Miracle will see it, like his fist like stone like slowly creeps up his arms, probably to about the halfway point. And he's just like, yeah, I got this.
All right. Well, let's see if I generate burn or pass out trying.
I hope it's the latter.
It would be really funny, but no, I have so many conditions.
Do you have this? Falls asleep. Oh.
That would be also...
I guess I do, yes.
That would also have been amazing. No, I got a 13.
On a 13, you generate 3 burn.
Yep.
What does it look like when you're charging up?
So it looks similar to how when he normally uses his power, but where you'll see this paleness, like the color is going to start leaching out of the ground and so forth around him in an area. And since he's using it to create a moat, it'll just reach out to where those skeletons are and then almost create a defined barrier where they, if they were clashing with the police or getting really close to like the actual regular people, now there's something directly in between them.
Okay. So before your moat manifests fully, assuming it takes you time to actually charge up and draw in this energy, what we're going to do is we're going to pull back to Todd and Pitbull. Todd, you saw your rock bounce harmlessly off this guy, and he hardly paid any attention to you. Then you see the throwdown going on with the sky heroes, the ones that can actually fly. The undead are rising up around you and beginning to try to descend upon the crowd and the authorities. You see Recharge and Tate, like, charging up and getting ready to throw down. But in that time, the skeletal warriors are descending on the authorities. What do you want to do?
After his prompt was ignored, he'll just sigh, look at all what's going on, just go, maximum effort. He will just teleport in and start trying to defend the police with his piece of rebar.
Sure, you teleport away. I don't know if Pitbull knows he can teleport. Did you do it during the boss Birdman fight at all while he was around?
I don't think I actually did.
I don't think you did either. So you do that, you teleport into the fray, and like we linger on where you were standing as Pitbull like begins to say, are you ready for this? We're going to throw down? And he like looks over and you're not there anymore. And then he looks to the field and you're in the middle of it already laying into the skeletal warriors. And he just like shrugs his shoulders and says, guess so. He rushes off to like fight. I was going to say help you, but I don't think his primary goal is necessarily to help you so much as it is to just like beat up some skeletal warriors. Yeah, this feels a little bit more like defending to me, because you're acting kind of as a first line of defense so that you can buy some time before the skeletal warriors descend on the authorities, if that makes sense to you.
Absolutely.
So then 2d6 plus savior.
Holy shit, I crit. I got a 12. So it's 11 because I have minus one.
You are going to buy adequate time and you get to choose one from the defense.
I am clearing
list.
A condition because I have 3. With all his emotions swirling around his head, he'll have that moment before he teleports, where he sighs, says maximum effort, breathes in, going into this other world, seeing where he wants to end, like right in front of the police as one of the warriors is coming up on him. He's going to take that breath, move in, turn around, and then bring the rebar up to clash with whatever weapon the warrior was using as he was swinging down on one of the officers. He will meet the skeleton's blow, proving that in the moment, even when fear grips him in the back of his head, he can still be brave and do what he needs to do to be the hero he wants to be, clearing his afraid condition.
Yeah, awesome. And from behind you, this officer you defended, as you're like holding off the blow and deflecting it, he says, "Shit, thanks, kid. I don't know if you should be doing what you're doing, but you might have just saved my life." And then he shoots the one you deflect, and it like drops.
I can't think of anything snarky to say at the moment, so Todd's just gonna keep fighting.
Yeah, you're fighting a lot of things, so it's totally fair. Totally fair. Back up in the sky, Seraph, you just shrugged off this energy blast like a fucking champ. And Pharaoh lowers the one arm he shot it out of. He glances down at where Little Miracle is still struggling to stand up. And you can very clearly see him like pivot in the air, and he's just gonna rocket himself straight down at Little Miracle.
Seraph's gonna look at Sky and just say, "You remember that fight against Splice?"
"Yeah."
"Yeah." And he goes to grab him.
Oh.
You're gonna directly engage a threat, Seraph?
Fuck yeah. Danger clock.
Splice tactics.
Oh no. I double wound.
Oh, that's bad. I'm assuming you were trying to fly behind him and just like grab him, right?
Or even just like grab an arm. Probably nothing so elegant as flying behind him. Just reach out, go to grab an arm.
Yeah, you try to fly to catch up with him, and he's moving fast. You are actually able to catch up, just barely. And you go to grab him, and he like spins around in the air and just spikes you to the ground. Like, his fist, as he's spinning, hits your back, and you just plummet straight to the ground and bounce a little bit. Roll me to take a powerful blow.
This guy's eyes go wide.
Oh, neat. I like it. Okay. Here we go. I rolled a 3, so I guess I bounce.
Yeah, you certainly do bounce. That armor's really paying off.
flavor it. Seraph gets spiked into the ground. There's a small explosion as he impacts the turf out front of the school. The dirt falls to the ground, and he's just there, hero posing, one knee on the ground, fist on the ground, in the bottom of this crater.
There's like some dust rising up around you from the crater, from the impact. Sky Valor, you had expected Seraph to grab this guy, so you were probably already moving. But the speed at which Pharaoh is flying may be faster than you can fly. Or if you were better prepared, maybe you can match his speed. But since you were relying on Seraph to kind of kick this off, in the next instant, as Seraph's bouncing off the ground, Pharaoh swoops down and just punches into Little Miracle, which I think is a perfectly good segue to Tate. You've just finished charging up, pulling in this energy, and you're beginning to manipulate it as you're getting a lot of good practice in doing. Recharge, you have these like brick cover fists at this point, and both of you wobble in place. You're kind of just blown a little bit by this gust of wind and energy from Pharaoh swooping down, impacting Little Miracle, and picking him back up. And he's standing on the ground. He's standing there holding Little Miracle up. Sophie drops to the ground. She's not moving. Maybe she's breathing. It's hard to tell. Todd and Pitbull alone are fighting off the skeletal warriors with some pot shots from the authorities. It might be okay for now, but it won't be okay for long. But perhaps the same could be said of Little Miracle.
So he has Little Miracle like right in front of me?
Pretty much.
Well, I'm going to jump on his back like a spider monkey and just start wailing on him. He sees Little Miracle picked up, and then he just jumps on the guy's back and he's like pounding on him with stone fists, just like, "Let him go. Let him go. Stop that.
This is directly engage a threat. I'm okay with that. 2d6 plus danger.
Danger. 4 and 4, 8 plus 3, 11.
You get to pick 2.
I guess I'm going to, I will surprise the opponent and resist blows, any blows that come my way. Or I could use create an opportunity.
Yeah, you could do that. That would give you a team point to use between you and Valor so that you could potentially set her up for something in the next
round. Yeah, I'll do that, actually.
So you want to avoid and create an opportunity?
Oh, yeah, I'm always avoiding.
Okay.
That's fair.
Perfect. You're on this dude's back. You're wailing at him. He stumbles a little bit from your impacts, but you expect someone to react a lot more to being punched with brick fists than he is. He wobbles in place a little bit, and he's holding Little Miracle, but he begins to glance back at you, probably because you're just annoying him a little bit, or he didn't expect you to do this. and his attention seems to be fully off of Sky Valor. You know, maybe he's beginning to actually just, like, reach towards you to rip you off his back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I imagine, like, there's, like, a panel, too, of, like, just, like, from Recharge's perspective through the helmet. And, like, there's, like, a little reticle that, like, zoom, like, doesn't zoom in on Valor, but, like, highlights Valor, like, off in the distance. That's, like, Sky Valor, like, and, like, the how far away she is and stuff like that. So he's like, oh, Sky's coming. And just starts fucking distracting.
And at this point, Tate, you wanted to supercharge someone, give someone a boost?
Yep. Might be Sky Valor if she's coming in to do the thing.
Yeah, it seems like she's swooping right in, assuming the plan hasn't changed, right, Sky?
I don't see why it would change. I want to take William from him.
She stops midway and is just like, actually, they got this.
Actually, nah. He's got it.
So basically, you'll see this yellow-green life energy. He's been sucking in all this energy and it just flows out of him towards, it's technically going towards William Wendell, but I feel like it's going to hit Sky Valor as she comes in to swoop to like save him.
Sure. Is it just like a boost of energy? Like she feels refreshed and woken up?
You'll feel so alive because it is literally life energy that I've pulled from everybody else.
Great. Yeah. Recharge. Since you're creating opportunity for Sky Valor, I'm going to give you a team point to use between the two of you now.
Okay, then yeah, I'll apply the team point to Sky Valor.
You can also wait until after she rolls.
Yeah, I forgot about that. You can wait till after rolls. Okay, noted.
So, Sky, you're swooping in to sucker punch this guy, pretty much. Yee. As he's distracted by Spider Monkey Recharge on his back.
Uh-huh.
Cool. We'll do another directly engage a threat then. You get a plus one from Tate's boost. As you're swooping down, you just feel in the moments like this is what you're meant to do. You feel boosted.
So I have to do directly engage and not fight the good fight then?
You can fight the good fight.
Oh, okay, cool. Because that helps a lot. That actually brings me up to a 10.
With a 10, you get to pick 2.
I definitely want to take something, being Little Miracle. And I would pick resist, but I just feel like his attention isn't on me. So I feel like that would be like a waste, but I don't know how that would work.
If you don't pick to resist, you will take a condition.
Oh, okay. Then yeah, resist and take something.
Sure. What does that look like? You successfully do it. Totally.
Well, I feel like if I'm going to be resisting blows, it would kind of be, since his attention wasn't on me, I just kind of feel like maybe I would kind of swoop over to him while he's dealing with Recharge, like take Little Miracle from him, but maybe he's still like trying to get Recharge off of him and it would like hit me, but I like swoop out of the way. If his attention wasn't on me, maybe it would have been in kind of in the crossfire type thing, but I like dodged it.
Yeah. It's clumsy, especially with Recharge on this guy's back.
Yeah.
And you're able to fly around any of his blows and you wretch Little Miracle free from his grasp. And as you pull away and as we follow you, kind of just bringing Little Miracle a little distance away, getting some breathing room between you and Pharaoh, we swing over to Todd and Pitbull on the front lines, fighting skeletal warriors, dancing between laser blasts. You're holding up for now, but I think the skeletal warriors have kind of realized that maybe the people with superpowers are the bigger threat than laser blasts at this point. Todd, you are beginning to get surrounded. They are closing in on you. At this point, you have like maybe 4 of them just like, oh, yeah, we're going to fuck this kid's day up. What do you want to do?
I was worried till I remembered I have superpowers and I can get out of any bad situation where I'm surrounded. I'm going to teleport behind the line, smash one of them, and continue my fight. So I believe that's either directly engage or use my power.
Let's go with unleash your powers to get out of the sticky situation you're in.
Only got an 8. You tell me how it is unstable or temporary, because I'm not marking another condition.
we'll do it like this. So you're teleporting to get out of being swarmed, essentially. You're focusing on the ones in front of you, but you kind of forget maybe about the one behind you. It closes in. You're able to just narrowly dodge being slashed by this like wicked-looking skeletal sword. But as you do so, another one kind of runs in just as you're teleporting and like sucker punches you in the guts. And you feel like the wind is kind of knocked out of you a bit. So you're only able to hold your breath for so long. You're not able to get that far away with your teleport before you just start coughing. because you can't breathe that much or that easily right now, especially after exerting yourself so much. And you find yourself in a position where, like, you need a moment to catch your breath before you can reliably use your teleport again.
I dig it.
Although you're safer, you have slightly less tools in your toolbox. And through all that, we see Pitbull just, like, picking up skeletal warriors and throwing them aside, but he's also getting swarmed, and we'll swing back around to that in just a second, because Recharge is on the Hydra's back, and Seraph is just picking himself up from a crater. Sky Valor has saved Little Miracle from the clutches of Pharaoh, and Tate is still surging with stolen life energy from the area around him. Those of you who are engaging with Pharaoh, you can feel the static in the air. You smell something sweet, Seraph, very similar to when you were engulfed with this guy's energy blast. And the sparks start kicking off in the air as Pharaoh begins surging with energy, like he might just pop.
So is he like glowing?
Yeah, so he has this like flaming aura around him that's like hot. It's uncomfortable to be on his back, I suppose, Recharge. But it's not so much that you can't push through it. But as he's pulling in this energy, yeah, he's surging more. This light blue light is starting to intermingle with his flaming aura. It's now starting to get really uncomfortable for you.
Seraph will just yell out, "Recharge! Jump off!" and just strike up a quick runner's pose before launching himself at Pharaoh. Big flap of the wings.
I think that the best way to do that is to have Recharge put his feet on the guy's back and just propel himself backwards, like doing a backflip off of him. So like big arcing neon lights coming off of him, potentially creating an opportunity for Seraph.
I like to picture like you're backflipping off of him and your arc is going over Seraph as he's charging in.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So as you two are doing that, just to get an idea of where everyone's standing, Sky Valor, you're holding Little Miracle, and he's like looking bad. And you can actually see that what's left of the golden aura that surrounds him, the golden white aura that surrounds him, just like it's flickering a bit. And he coughs a little as you're holding him, and he looks at you and he says,
"We have to save her."
And he just like weakly points at the girl he identified as Sophie, the blonde girl that's lying on the ground near the combat.
She nods. "We have to save you too."
He coughs a little bit. Like I said, Sky Valor, it seems like Pharaoh might pop. Same thing goes for you, Tate. You're nearby. You're still surging with some energy. So I just want to get an idea of what the two of you are planning to do.
If Pharaoh is going to explode, I might just surround Sophie, myself, Little Miracle, and Valor and protect us.
That's neat.
Hey, Chris, I forgot to do a move too. Game face. When I commit myself to defeating a terrible energy or enemy, I mark a condition and get +1 to all ongoing rolls to do it. And then if I succeed, I clear a condition and mark potential.
Okay. You can try to factor that into the narrative at some point to do so.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I can do that.
But for right now, you backflip off of Seraph, and depending on how Seraph's role goes, you do have a team point you can use to enhance his role. So Seraph, you're charging at him, huh?
Yeah. And though the move is ultimately defensive, I would like to treat it as a directly engage, not because I want to move him.
I'm interested in calling this overcoming an obstacle with the use of your powers. Just repositioning him so he doesn't explode around all your friends.
Works for me.
So that's 2d6 plus freak.
Cool. All right, here we go. I got an 8.
Great. So it's your choice. You can either mark a condition to do the thing, or I can tell you how the thing you're doing is unstable or temporary.
I'm going to mark a condition.
So for my end, I think he's going to start popping as you're pushing him, but you can paint the scene if you like and tell me how that, what condition you mark because of it.
Seraph is in that runner's position, and you'll see him gritting his teeth. An expression, not necessarily of determination, but of anger and frustration spreading across his face as he launches forward with his wings, Recharge backflipping over him in this rainbow of color, and Seraph just in a blur right into Pharaoh, swooping up into the sky.
Yeah, and as you're swooping up into the sky during that arc is where the energy really surges. I think since you're grappling him and pulling him up, you're caught in his aura in the brunt of the energy, but beams start shooting off in various directions. Not necessarily like it was an explosion, but like it was like a multi-beam attack that would cover an area. And I definitely think pretty much all these beams miss as you're just rocketing him into the sky. But you are caught in this aura again. Down on ground level, Tate, I'm not going to have you use your burn to do this, but you can effectively position yourself and like do whatever it is you're going to do to create this barrier around Sky Valor, Sophie, and Little Miracle and yourself to protect them. But you will witness Seraph take Pharaoh up into the sky.
Well, that was unexpected, but all right. But now I'm worried about Seraph because he's like up there potentially getting hurt. Like, I can't reach you up there.
And from the ground, from like your feet, Tate, you hear the girl, the blonde girl, just like cough a little bit as she begins to stir. Sky Valor, are you still like cradling Little Miracle, or did you like put him on his feet or like help him stand or something?
Yeah, I'll help him stand up.
Sure, you help him stand. He has like an arm slung around your shoulder. You feel his form just begin to shift as the perfect physique he was boasting becomes the chunky little physique of William Wendell. And it kind of fluctuates back and forth a little bit until, with a very weak surge of energy, he is just William Wendell. Todd, speaking of breathing heavily.
Yeah. I gotta just caught my breath too.
I feel like out of the corner of your eye, you see these four other individuals that you've met before at City Hall. Some of them you know intimately, some less so. They're just having a day dealing with this Pharaoh dude. You're fighting this army and you see Pitbull just like rushing through, but he's like bulldozing his way through, charging, knocking them aside. But you can see it. He's getting cut up and he's shrugging through a lot of the damage that's coming his way. Unlike you, he's not doing so much dodging as he is just pulverizing people and dealing with the blows. It's reckless and you're not sure what's going through his head, but you know, there's no way he can keep that up.
Okay. So at this point, are the numbers thinning any, or does it seem like any of the ones we're knocking down just keep getting up?
That's a good question. And I definitely think the numbers are thinning. The ones you do knock down and cripple and destroy just kind of fade back into the ground. The laser blasts seem to maybe doing a little bit less damage to the ghosts for some reason, for one reason or another that I don't care to explain. It seems like you and Pipple are actually helping.
I think I want to try and provoke them to try and focus more on me rather than on Pitbull.
Yeah, I do like that. And I think we can definitely use provoke over defend on this one. Good idea. How are you doing that? Are you just screaming? And as much as you can scream, even though you're kind of winded?
Oh, I got to go with the classic. Hey, boneheads! And I'll huck the rebar at Pharaoh to show that I'm the bigger threat to their master.
I like to imagine that Seraph and Pharaoh are, like, decently up in the sky, so it doesn't, like, quite reach, but still.
I think it, like, grazes, like, his foot.
It, like, bounces off his foot.
Yeah.
Then you can, to provoke someone, you're trying to get them to focus on you instead of Pitbull?
Yes.
Great. Then you can roll 2d6 plus superior.
Yeah, I can. I have minus 2 because I'm guilty, but plus 3, so that is a 9. Hey, Tate, you want to use our team to boost me to a 10?
Yeah, take it.
How are you assisting Todd in this, Tate?
Moral support. You got this!
He's fucking lame.
It super is. You're not wrong.
So from Tate's perspective, he sees Todd just like whip rebar at Pharaoh up in the sky and try to provoke this horde of skeletal warriors. And his response is to tell Todd that you totally have this, bro.
I mean, realistically, no, that wouldn't happen. I don't, like, he's trapped inside a bubble of his own making to stop these people from getting hurt. And there's not much that he can do to influence the outside events except through words.
Yeah. I mean, Todd's just yelling to provoke. So I think if you want to assist, you could say you totally got this and then also maybe draw some of their attention to you.
Yeah. Like if I can draw their attention to me also, that'd be fine because I'm safe inside my bubble.
Yeah. And doing that, Todd, you can get a plus one from Tate spending the team point.
That'll bring me to a 10. So I get to choose.
Yeah, they just do it. There's no choice.
Yeah, they err. This is the critical opportunity. Their attention's off Pitbull. He's gonna fuck a lot of them up.
Definitely. They, like, most of them, like, just stop and watch you throw the rebar. And it's not the most thrilling thing to watch. It's kind of pathetic, to be perfectly blunt. But then they all turn their attention to you. And Pitbull takes a moment to stop, and he just, like, looks around like, the fuck, we were fighting. And then as they start moving towards you, he just begins crushing them from the back. And they begin lurching towards you, Todd. At this point, let's take the focus to the sky. Seraph, you've just dragged Pharaoh up there. He's unleashed this burst of energy. And you've more or less shrugged it off. It's just pissed you off a little bit more. You and he are just in the sky together. Just a short distance across from each other. Maybe you rushing him up here had a little bit of a knockback on it. And you two are just squaring up. For this particular moment, can you tell me how Seraph looks? Because he's been through a lot tonight.
I'd like to think that Seraph's skin actually has dents in it at this point. Scratches, scuff marks, even a few points where it looks almost melted. He doesn't look great, but he's not bleeding.
To compare with that, across from you, this person, this winged individual, he's not damaged. Not even a little bit. He hardly looks annoyed. There's not really much of an expression on his face. You and your friends, question mark, have been knocking him around a little bit, have been getting in his way, but he's not slowing down.
So, don't suppose you'd be willing to call to draw?
He says nothing. He glances once down at where Tate, Sophie, Little Miracle, now William Wendell, and Sky Valor are standing, the diminishing horde of skeletal warriors, some of them moving towards that group, some of them moving towards Todd, who's just catching his breath and regaining his composure, and Pitbull's behind that horde, just knocking them here and there. And Recharge, where are you in all of this?
I mean, I can't be too far off of where that whole group is congregating. I did like a backflip over Scott and probably landed in that area. I'm probably still in the bubble.
Oh, you were in the bubble too. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
I was on top of the guy.
Yeah. And then you see in the panel, standing up, his lights actually flicker back on. You realize that Recharge was in the bubble too the whole time. Pharaoh then looks again at you, Seraph. And as his attention gets drawn off to the distance, he seems to look past you, towards, like, the school, towards the back of the school, to something. You don't feel any presence. You don't, even if you glance, you don't see anything. But with one final look at you, he kind of holds up his right hand, flexes his fingers a little bit, and you see him go intangible. And then he just fades away.
Could have said yes, asshole.
As he fades away, the skeletal warriors do not. They are still descending on the protective bubble that Tate has up. They're still descending on Todd. They're still getting crushed by Pitbull. They're still getting shot by the local authorities that have stood to their ground. Tell me how you guys want to resolve that. There's not a lot of them left. There's honestly not a lot of a reason to roll much of anything else, because there's no doubt in my mind that the five of you can resolve this situation.
Single panel montage.
Single panel montage.
I still really want to break that staff, just in case they would go away along with it.
I think we can focus on that then.
Quick note. Based on the reading of my ability, it looks like it just holds back threats. So if Sky Valor is not a threat, she should be able to slip out.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd probably just fly up a little bit, because then I'm out of the bubble and I'm not, like, near any of the warriors, because I'm sure they probably can't fly.
Yeah, you fly up. You look down, you see everything that's going on. What do you want to do?
I want to try and break the staff.
Hell yeah, let's break the staff. Give me an Unleash Your Powers roll. 2d6 plus freak. Minus 2 because you're hopeless.
Oh, you're right. Uh-oh. All right, let's see how this goes. 6.
6 is just nothing. You don't do it. You know how strong you are. You know how easy it is for you to bend some really resilient things. The staff doesn't budge, not even a little bit. No matter how much you give into it, you even give a little bit of your laser eyes, you know, just a little bit to try to move it around. This must be made of something completely different than a regular substance. There must be more to the staff, and it's not something you're going to be able to break.
Well, that sucks, but okay. Yeah, then, I mean, after that, I probably just fly back down in the bubble. I'm like, oops. Yeah, guys, that didn't work.
So while Sky Valor's in the sky trying to bust the staff, the rest of you are moving in and dealing with the situation at hand. I like Seth's idea of a one-panel montage of you guys cleaning house.
So a zoomed-out shot of everyone doing their thing, probably in the background where there's a cluster of these guys. It's just Seraph impacting the ground feet first, sending just like four or five of these zombies flying through the air.
And then we cut to Recharge. What's your panel?
Yeah, once he disappears and the oncoming horde of skeletons and undead start pouring around, it's going to be Recharge, just a bright neon blue light just zipping from like skeleton to skeleton as they like explode from stone fistons.
Todd, what are we seeing from your angle?
I'm thinking at this point, Todd's cut up. He's tired. He's still trying to catch his breath. He's backed into a corner. And that's when the police rush on through when they see the numbers are dwindling. Todd can't do anymore. He gets brought down to a knee and the police just cover him. First little bit of showing him a little humility, thinking he could do it all on his own, but maybe head down at that point, thinking, wow, I wasn't good enough. I couldn't finish.
Before we get to Tate's, a follow-up panel of that, the few numbers that are left do begin to swarm you, Todd. And they're being taken out by the authorities. The authorities are finally moving in. Things are going in their favor thanks to the help of all of you guys. But man, you drew more attention than you actually could really physically deal with at this time. And a couple of these skeletal warriors just descend on you. They break free from being shot. They're closing in. You have your head down. There's not much else you can do. And then you hear a crunch, crash.
Pow.
Pow, ka-chow. Followed by, get up, you wussy. I thought you were better than that. And you get hoisted up. Like, he picks you up by your shirt and puts you on your feet.
Look up, smile at Pitbull.
Fight's not over yet. Don't make me start swinging you around. Tate, what are you up to?
You said the girl Sophie has finally started to stir. So he's probably, like, still in the bubble. He's reached down to check on her and see if she's okay. Since this is in almost a mirror of the situation before with Mary. So he's checking to see if she's okay.
And I think just like that, for a moment, it doesn't look like she is. Like, she coughed a little bit, but then she was quiet and she was still. But then you see it. She is breathing.
Okay.
She is alive. Maybe this time it was just enough.
Just enough. Yeah. So that's basically how he's just going to spend the rest of, like, he'll be there just holding her in his arms, sort of crouched on the ground. William sort of, I guess, on the ground also. And everybody else is zipping around, fighting everybody in the background, but they're still.
And Sky Valor, you said you were beginning to descend, to kind of rejoin everyone.
I think it's more of like I swoop down, I just look at it, like, huh, I couldn't break this. Shrug, and just start whacking skeletons with it. I'm like, if this is strong enough that I couldn't break it, utilize it. I start batting them.
So before you get down there and start batting them, you are looking at this thing, and you're like, huh, I couldn't break it. And you begin descending. And then maybe without even realizing it, you stop descending and you start thinking. He used the staff to raise the dead. What is this? How powerful is this item? What have you gained with this? Maybe it's a good thing you didn't destroy it. Maybe this is what you need to be a hero, to be the hero you're meant to be.
Oh no, the necromancy is it's a very alluring staff, I assume.
And for the first time, you feel it, an outside power that's not your own. You're holding it in your hands. This is something new, something different. I don't know if Sky Valor is ever the sort to think like, oh yeah, I have superpowers. I'm super strong. I'm invincible. This is who I am. And it probably doesn't get better than this. But maybe it does. Maybe it can. Maybe you deserve this.
Oh gosh.
And I think we can just leave that panel with you floating in the air thinking about the staff for a few moments. And the party cleans up house, demolishing the skeletal warriors until the only things left standing is your team, the local authorities, and the few onlookers that decided to brave it out, watching from the sidelines, a very safe and comfortable distance away. Horizon High in the background is just an absolute wreck. It's surprising the building is even still standing.
and then it collapses.
And then it begins to collapse, yeah. So in the rest of the panels, it'll slowly start continuing to collapse. The chunks will fall off until, like, the last panel of the comic book. It's just going to completely fall in on itself. But before we get there, I'm imagining this moment where, like, the police, the authorities, they're just, like, looking at the lot of you. The five of you, plus Pitbull, plus tired William Wendell, Sky Valor can finally, like, descend to after mulling over what having the staff means. For, like, the second time, the five of you find yourselves together again. You've met each other individually here and there, but not since City Hall has the five of you actually, like, stood around as a group, as a unit. Maybe it's at this moment just looking around at the people that you've fought with, that you've tried to protect other people with. You can find a sense of community, friendship, belonging, whatever that means to your characters. But your thoughts are kind of interrupted as from the behind the police line, two individuals start running up. One holding up just like a handheld camera. The other, a scrawny looking individual who just yells out, "Professional blogger Chucky Legato here. The five of you, real actual heroes, new heroes on the scene, I see. Tell me, do you have something we can call you by?" And he just, like, waits eagerly for someone to respond.
Quick question. Does he have a camera?
The guy behind him has a camera.
Seraph's just like, "Oh, shit, I'm naked."
"The teamwork was stunning. Surely you've done this sort of thing before. Many, many questions."
So much awkward silence.
"But the people want to know. The people have the right to know. What is this new heroic team we have in Horizon City?"
Like, out of character, we never discussed a name.
We never used team names
in our games.
Okay. Okay, let's think about it.
Okay, okay. The Misfits.
Okay, so okay. We're in Horizon,
no, Misfits.
Right?
Yep, no, Horizon.
Misfits. Horizon.
What's on the horizon?
The Sunset Crew.
Sometimes the Moon.
That's a really bad name, Danielle.
Oh, really, really bad.
That's a really bad name.
But I feel like the Horizon something would be good.
Yeah, Horizon Dawn. 5.
Maybe like alliterative?
Horizon Heroes.
Oh, wow. What if we were the Horizon Heroes?
Yeah, that's simple.
I mean,
to the point.
Something else with Horizon. I like Horizon. I feel like we should have Horizon in the name. I kind of like it.
Oh, we're the Horizon High Five.
In the name. No,
Horizon. Horizon's Edge.
Horizon Edge High Five will tell everybody that we all go to the school.
This is all definitely right. Like a group conversation that's happening in game, isn't it? Like,
we just huddle.
Yes, it is.
I think Horizon's Edge is actually really
good. I like that too, actually.
Horizon's Edge.
Todd's Edge Lord.
I'll do it.
Recharge. It's you. Recharge. You got this.
It's me.
Yeah, you got to say
you're the actual hero here.
Yeah, you got this.
Well, I gestures. But I've seen your interviews. They're really your interviews. They're really
absolutely
bad.
Not. You can't let her talk. Yeah, you got to say recharge.
Hey, okay. It's not that bad.
Scott, fuck up, Sky. We can't have you be our face.
Scott like pushes recharge forward.
Just go.
And he's like, "Okay, I'm doing it. We're Horizon's Edge," and he strikes a pose.
Horizon's Edge.
You guys got it.
Everyone hits a JoJo pose. Let's go.
Yeah, pose.
Wings flare. Hands cover general groin region.
Cool.
Just know you gotta have some like Dr. Manhattan level of like no shame with this.
Yeah, and Chucky Legato, he turns back to the camera, and so like he's in the focus of the panel. You guys are all in the background, maybe striking a pose, maybe not. You heard it here first, folks. Horizon's Edge, a new budding team of superheroes, young superheroes, saving the day here at Horizon High. And he glances back at the lot of you, and then the high school collapses. And he looks back at his camera, and then he looks back at you guys, and he just says, "So, Recharge, are you the leader of this group?"
I guess so.
That's a firm yes, folks. Recharge, leading Horizon's Edge.
That's awkward.
Detailed interviews coming in just a second.
Meanwhile, there's a text message going out to Greg that's just like, "I think I made a mistake."
How does this end? What's the last panel we see? Because we have to wrap up.
I think that the end panel needs to be a big splat panel. like, of the group.
I kind of like the final panel being, like, the snapshot of what the picture was. Or the, like, article.
That could be, that would be good. That's a
with
good
the school
one.
Collapsing in the background.
Yeah, that actually be
like,
really good.
Yeah, with the school, like, smoke from the school. Skeletons, skeletal bodies strewn about.
Yep.
The final panel is the five of us striking a pose. School collapsing, skeletons everywhere.
With the title, New Kids on the Block.
No.
New Heroes on the Block.
Why be part of a trifecta when you be, can be part of a...
Quint?
Would it be?
Pentifex?
Pentifex?
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
Dang, we should have called ourselves that.
Oh, well. Next time. You'll get them next time.
I like that ending.
Yeah, that's a good one. I do like it.
Yeah, just flash freeze. Us in our poses, give the panel a little bit of a grainy look, maybe zoom back, some teenager reading about us on their computer screen.
Or their tablet or whatever, yeah.
Oh, that's neat, because that kind of wraps up the entire season then, because it started with, you know, like in the teaser and stuff, it started with kids in the kid looking at the comic book in the store. He kind of zoomed back out again.
Yeah, kid just saying, man, this sucks.
I can't believe I paid money for this.
They have how many issues?
30? That's ridiculous. Someone wasted a lot of time putting this together. With that, we finally turn the last page of Volume 2. And we are done. Like you, be strong to hold the powers of the sun. Dream, believe in strength. Now I'm the only one. I was an ordinary boy until I broke the rules. My life destroyed.
You're a superhero.